All right. Well, this morning we're going to continue on in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We call it Kingdom Values. It's chapters 5 through 7 of what Jesus said early in his ministry to help reveal what he was doing, what he was all about, and what did he want us to be all about too. And so we asked the question last week, and I want to just kind of repeat it. Where is Jesus really going with all of this? When he gives a sermon early, and then he lives the rest of his 3 years of ministry, and at the end, he kind of indicates where he was going with all of this. And in chapter 28 of Matthew, he says this. It's called the Great Commission. He says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted still. They hadn't seen him yet. And it was amazing to them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said, came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples.'" Let's kind of highlight that. Go make disciples, followers, people who buy in, people who want to live that kind of life. People say, yes, this is what it's all about. To make disciples, people who want to follow him and be like him, walk with him, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then let's highlight this next section. Teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey, teaching them to do all that I have commanded them. And then he makes this amazing statement, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of time," the end of this age. It's an amazing thought. I want you to teach them. I was talking with a young mother this morning. One of her kids said to her this week, "Mommy, smile." And she was kind of heartbroken because she hadn't been smiling much, I guess. It happens to young moms, right? I mean, when they're just like, and I said, "Well, what you need to say to them is, obey me and I'll smile, you know, and I'll get a smile on my face." But yeah, we all need to smile. But here he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded them. Wow. Here at Quest, we say it this way. Here's our purpose and mission statement at Quest. It's kind of right along those lines. It's to glorify God by making disciples. That's what we're all about. Glorifying God by making followers of him. Who, and we define it very clearly, who know God personally and worship him sincerely. Who apply biblical truth to daily living. Who generously share their lives and resources with their brothers and sisters in Christ. And who are burdened and equipped to reach the world for Christ. That's what we're trying to do. It's pretty simple. It's right out of the scriptures. And we kind of say it this way in a simple form: seeking God, loving people, engaging life, and finding hope. And isn't that what we all need? Seeking God, loving people, engaging real life, and finding hope. I was reminded of that powerfully this week. Yesterday, as we attended, Diane and I attended the funeral of a 21-year-old son of one of my friends who died of a drug overdose. And the incredible need to seek God, to love people, to engage real life into finding hope. You know, it was interesting. I was talking to a policeman the other day, and he said in his career, he's been with 10 different people that he said, if you continue down this road, I can guarantee you, you're either going to be in prison or you're going to be dead. And 8 of the 10 have passed away. Of the incredible need for answers to life. To seek God, to love people, to engage real life, and to find hope. I think it's amazing. That's what he's called us to do. And it's so necessary and so important. And so that's what we want to be all about, okay? So as we enter into this today's sermon, I want to just read the passage, and then we'll kind of wrestle with it, okay? So let me just read it to you. We start in verse 12 of chapter 7, and it says this. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Wow. You guys, let's pray. Ask the Lord to kind of speak to our hearts this morning, okay? Father, in the midst of life, there are so many wonderful, beautiful, great, awesome things. And there are lots of difficult, painful, tragic, heartbreaking things. And there's lots of stuff in the middle. And yet Jesus speaks into our life here, and he gives us some incredible thoughts. And so I pray that you would take your word, his words, and you would open up a door in each one of our hearts and our souls to hear it, embrace it, to live it, to be filled by it, and to be changed. And we can't do it on our own. We wish we could. We wish we could just kind of turn a switch and all of a sudden be this kind of person. But somehow it doesn't work. Never has. And so we ask you to empower us to make the difference. And we pray these things in the name of the only one who mediates for us to you, and that's Jesus. Amen. So this morning, here's the big idea. Here's what I want to say. Here's what I think the scripture is saying, is that the life that Christ is calling us to is founded on a choice each of us has to make regarding whether or not to live from a good heart that invests in the lives of others. How are we going to live our lives? We're betting our life on it, right? Whether God is real and what he can do in our lives. We're betting our entire life on that. And so what is it that he is calling us to at a heart level? That's been what the Sermon on the Mount has been all about. It hasn't been about rules. It's been about heart. And he wants to create a new heart in each one of us. That's what he's been doing. So let's jump in to verse 12 here. In fact, let's jump in with the word so, and let's box it, okay? So we don't circle so, we just put a box around it. And so this so really is the word therefore. Jesus is saying therefore. And you think, well, what's he referring to is therefore? Is he referring just to what he said, you know, in the paragraph before? Well, yes, probably. When he says ask, knock, you know, seek, and you'll receive. And God is at work, not to do whatever we want him to do, but to do what he wants to do in us. Through the Holy Spirit? Or is it referring back to the entire sermon? Probably so. You see, Jesus is now wrapping up this sermon. He's kind of bringing it to a close, but he's not going to end it easily or kind of in a simple way. He's going to pound it home. Okay, so he's wrapping up the whole sermon. So he says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. You guys, this is such a simple little line, isn't it? It's just a little sentence. We call it the golden rule. And it's almost like we have forgotten that it's in the Bible. It seems to be such a broad maxim in life. You know, do unto others as you would have them do to you. I mean, it's just such a simple thing. And I almost wanted to kind of go right through this verse and kind of jump to the next part. Because you're like, yeah, it's one line. It's one simple little thing. But the more my week went on, the more I began to say, oh, my goodness gracious. This one line radically changes everything. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And you think, wow, how do I deal with that? That seems so right, doesn't it? And so hard. Do you ever run into relationships that just are not easy all the time? And you think, well, I just need to do to them what I'd like to be done to me. And sometimes it just doesn't seem to work very easily. It's hard. But whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And then look at this, and let's highlight it. For this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Here's what Jesus is saying. The entire Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, we call it the Old Testament. That's offensive to a Jew because they don't think it's old at all. It's the most real thing in the world for them. It's the Tanakh. It's God's word. It's the whole thing. The law and the prophets. Now, the law and the prophets refers, frankly, to the entire Old Testament. It's not just the law, the first five books of Moses that we call the Pentateuch. And it's not just the prophets, which are the latter part, the way we arrange the Old Testament. It's the whole thing. It's the historical books. It's the poetic books. It's the law that's early. It's the prophets that are later. What have they been saying? Here's how Jesus just kind of boils it down. Whatever you wish others to do to you, do also to them. That's pretty good. You know, I mean, that's pretty simple, right? That's pretty straightforward. Do to them the way you'd like it done to you. Pretty simple. Now, you know, it's a truth in life. We were talking earlier, even downstairs this morning. There's a lot of things that our world pushes back from Christianity, right? I mean, it pushes away, is offended by, hates, you know, a lot of things. And we get it. This particular saying, no one pushes back from. No one really rejects it. And Jesus is saying, it's not a soft peddling of the gospel. It is the gospel. It is the entire law and the prophets. It's everything that's been going on. It's the whole deal, right? There are other times where Jesus was asked, hey, what's the most important commandment? And Jesus said, it is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, and in that is fulfilled the law and the prophets. To love your neighbor as if he was you. Do unto them as you would like them to do to you, to love them in such a way. This encompasses the whole thing. So you think, oh my gosh, here's this verse 12. And the first part of it is a statement that encompasses everything. Everything. It's to do to them, to do to others what you would like them to have done to you. Other people have said it along the way. The Chinese philosopher Confucius said this 500 years before Jesus. He said, do not do unto others what you would not want others to do to you. It's a truth in life. Yeah, this is a truth that God has out there. It kind of senses it in our own spirit that this is the right thing. Confucius understood it too. Now, also, even here, Rabbi Hillel, who lived, is probably did this in about 10 AD. Now, Rabbi Hillel, just so you know, is one of the probably most renowned Jewish teachers of all time. He's held in incredible high esteem. He was amazing. His grandson, Gamaliel, was the one who taught Paul along the way about what life was all about and the faith was all about. But Rabbi Hillel, there was a Gentile that came up to him and he said, hey, can you summarize the entire law and the prophets on the amount of time that we can stand on one foot? Okay? So I don't know how long that is, and just so you know, the person that stood on their foot the longest time did it for 76 hours. So we didn't need 76 hours. You can get that in Guinness Book of Records. But you can stand on one leg. I can do it for a while. And he says, hey, can you tell me the whole law and the prophets? Boil it down to why I can stand here on one leg. And he said this. What is hateful to you, do not do to anyone else. This is the whole law. All the rest is commentary. Go and learn it. That's a really great statement, isn't it? Do what is hateful to you, don't do to anybody else. Even the Roman philosopher and statesman Seneca said, let us show our generosity in the same manner that we would wish to have it bestowed on us. Right? So let's go back and do this. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. So I'm going to ask you a question. Like what? Like what? Let me ask you, what do you like being done to you? And I'm going to ask you, and if he says, do it to others, what do you like being done to you? What do you go, man, I really love it when someone, what? Listens to me, absolutely, because when they listen, they say you have value. They want to understand your thoughts. If you want someone to listen to you, listen to them. What else do you, what do you like being done to you? Checks in with you. And when they don't, you go, I wonder why they never do. And how many times do we check in with someone else? Man, they'd feel good too if we checked in with them. Thank you. Who else? Right there. To be included, to be invited. To not be invited is a drag. When's the last time you invited someone rather than waiting for them to invite you? Somebody else. To be appreciated. With both their words and with their actions, to be appreciated. If we want that, we need to do it to others. Don't wait. But something else. Okay, wait a second. Be respected. A fundamental need in the human heart. To respect others. He says, if you want that, do that to others. There was someone over here. A back rub. Absolutely. A back rub. And so you'll have to start doing it first to the other person. Okay. Someone downstairs said, to be someone to allow them into line when you're driving in the merge lane, right? So let someone else in too, right? Some other things. What do you like to have done to you? The dishes. Okay, let's skip that one.
I have to ask the cooking.
Yeah. You guys, what you wish others would do to you. Here's the beautiful thing about what Jesus says. A lot of the times when this maxim is repeated or at least kind of referred to, a lot of times it's in the negative, right? Hey, if you don't want to be hated, don't hate. It's things not to do. And those are all valid and real and good. I love the fact that Jesus says it in the positive. He says not something not to do, but something to do. If you want people to do it to you, do it to them first. Just think if we live that way. I probably don't really enjoy when people steal my things. If we treated others the way we wanted to be treated, then we would never have to put a lock on our door ever again. Ever. If I didn't want someone stealing my wife, then I'm not going to steal someone else's wife. I don't have to worry about it. Isn't this really the Ten Commandments? Very simple, very straightforward. A way for people to live together is the way you wish to be treated. You get to treat others the same way. Go first. Take the first step to acknowledge, to respect, to understand, to take the initiative, to contact. It's pretty simple stuff. And yet Jesus says it's the entire law and the prophets. It's the wholeness of God to say, why don't you love each other? Wow, I'll be honest with you, this week is the more I thought about it, the less successful I felt. I began to see where I don't treat others the way I'd like to be treated. And how discouraging that was. How convicting that was. Sometimes it takes others to help us see it. And I thought, wow, this very simple little thing, it's only a bunch of words, right? And yet it's so core. Who do we demean and devalue in life? That there's no room in the Christian faith for that. Who do we ignore and judge? There's no room for it. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is everything. Wow. So as Jesus wraps up this whole thing, then he enters in to say, I want to give you some warnings. And he's going to do it in binary fashion. He's going to give twos of everything here. Okay, so after saying, whatever you wish others to do to you, do also to them, he says this in verse 13. Let's jump over there. Enter by the narrow gate. He's going to say that this particular life is narrow, not narrow-minded, but it's not very commonly experienced. Enter by the narrow gate. Then he makes this statement. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. Then he says in verse 14, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There's something about this statement that I so don't like. And I think what I don't like about it is the fact that it's true. I don't know if that, that probably doesn't make sense a lot. I wish the gate was wide and the way was easy. That's really what I want out of life. A really wide gate and a really easy path. That's what I actually want. And what defines that? Well, then I get to do whatever I want to do inside of that. But Jesus says this, that the gate is narrow and the way is hard that actually leads to life because it is defined by him. And he allows the world to choose a broad gate and an easy path. But he says the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to real life. It means there has to be things that are said no to, things not done. Because so often the things that we do lead to death and destruction and pain and hurt in people's lives and in our own lives. It's not just broad and easy. It's narrow and hard. The Christian life. So sometimes when we do evangelism, we talk to people about Christ, we go, man, when you come to Jesus, it's just going to be easy. Well, just so you know, that's not the gospel. It's going to be narrower and it's going to be a little harder. Not narrow-minded, not stupid, not judgmental. We've already talked about all that in the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be unique. It's a saying of obedience to him. And I wonder if it's not unique that it comes right on top of this verse that says, whatever you wish others to do to you, you do also to them. Because all of a sudden we're going to say, I can't be selfish and mean and ugly. I can't do that. Because it violates the very core of the law and the prophets. But I'm going to need to love and sacrifice and care and be generous. I'm going to have to say no to self and yes to others. That's the Christian life. That is what he's saying, I think. And so the gate is narrow and the way is hard. You're going to have to self-sacrifice. You have to die to self and live to Christ. I don't know about you, but there's part of me that doesn't like that. I don't want to die to self. I want to live to self. And I'd like to have you die. I'd like the other people sacrifice for me, for my selfish needs. That's what I really want. And yet it leads to destruction. Here it says, and many go that way, rather than sacrificing for the good of others. Because that's the way I'd like to be loved too. Well, let's go to another thing that Jesus says here, and I think it's important. It connects very intimately with this in verse 15. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. I think what he's saying is right on top of what he's just said, is that there are people out there who are going to teach a very broad gate in a very easy way. But these actually come looking like they're dressed in sheep's clothing, but they're actually wolves. And there's this incredible poor relationship, if you will, between sheep and wolves. They don't get along necessarily at all. And he says, some of these guys are going to come, and these teachers are going to come, and they're going to teach you about a really broad gate in a really easy way, and kind of do whatever you want to do, and it's going to be a moneymaker, and you're going to get rich, and you're going to be happy. And I'm going to say, Jesus just told us that's not true. And these guys are going to come, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves who are destroying people. Look in verse 16. You will recognize them by their fruits. By the real product of their life, the way they really live, the way they really handle themselves, you'll recognize them by that. And then he's going to talk a little bit here about fruits. He says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Well, of course they're not. Or figs from thistles? No, they're not. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. Of course, that's right. We get that. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. healthy trees produce good fruit. Of course. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. We get that. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is dealt with. And so these people who come and teach as ravenous wolves, trying to look like sheep, are actually telling us you can live any way you want, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. God matters. How we live our lives. And then he ends by saying, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. You'll recognize it. You'll see it. Be wise. Be discerning. Be careful. Because they come to destroy. They come for their own good. Not for the good of those they speak to. They come for their own good. Wow. So here's today's big idea, once again. The life that Christ is calling us to is founded on a choice each of us has to make regarding whether or not to live from a good heart that invests in the lives of others, right? So what do we do with this? Where do we go with this? Just got three thoughts, kind of connect with those three pieces of the passage. First of all, for us to look at every person with the intention of treating them the way we would like to be treated. To look at every person with that thought. How would I like to be treated, and can I do that? Maybe it starts at home with the people you live with, your wife, your husband. Okay, let's go on. Maybe with your kids. Man, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? We want to demand our own way, demand this, demand that. But if we approached our marriages by saying, I want to treat you the way I'd like to be treated, it might change things. Even with our kids, what would that look like? What about the person working down the street at a restaurant that you're going to go to today? Would you treat them the way you would like to be treated? How would you like to be treated if you're a waiter or waitress? What about the person working at Lowe's? The store you've been to three times in one day to get new lights. And you're frustrated because the lights didn't work. How do you treat them? The way you'd like to be treated? I bet working at Lowe's and Home Depot, I bet that is a royal pain this time of year. I can't imagine how horrific it would be to work there. What about the way we treat them? Looking at every person with the intention of treating them the way you would like to be treated. The entire law and the prophets is caught up in that statement, right? Everything. Wow, how would that radically change the world? Okay, let's go to number two. Let's be careful how we live, for the fullness of life has a narrow gate and a hard road. To embrace that the fullness of real life is a narrow gate and a hard road. To embrace that takes courage. It takes faith. It takes commitment. It takes a non-complaining spirit. It's to understand that there are things in life that are real, that need to be obeyed and dealt with. It's not just a broad gate and an easy way. To embrace that without whining about it, but to say, I want to walk with Christ, and he does not walk in every place, or does not lead me to every place, and it's easy and whatever. But there is a uniqueness to it. Be careful how you live, for the fullness of life has a narrow gate and a hard road. Third, let's wrap it up with this. Be careful who you listen to, and evaluate them by the quality of their actions, the fruit of their life. Because there are going to be people who will encourage you to live on a broad gate in an easy way. everything goes. Anything goes. But then we know it doesn't work that way. Because all of a sudden, when I do whatever I want to do, I'm going to step on your toes. I'm going to step on them big time. Right? Because you're going, no, no, whoa, whoa, wait a second. That doesn't fly. You don't get to borrow my car without my permission forever, without telling me, and I never know where it went. You don't get to do that. It's my car. If you want to ask for it, I may loan it to you. You don't get to steal it. I don't get to just do whatever I want to do. Life doesn't work that way. God has called us to something unique, and there are others, there are people out there teaching very wrong things. The Christian life is to hear the voice of Christ, to obey him. I think that's where he's taking us. So on your seats, there's probably a little card that says the golden rule. There's some questions on there for you to answer, to wrestle with, to deal with, to say, what am I going to do about this? What do I need to wrestle with regarding these issues? What's going through my mind? God, what are you saying to me here this morning? What am I hearing from your voice? What do I need to respond to? And then to say, here's how willing I am to do it. Like, no, thank you. I'd really rather do it my way. Or, yeah, okay, I'm willing to do it. What if he calls you to do something radical and weird? Not weird like, you know, inappropriate. But just like, wow, I never thought of that. Lord, they might think I'm strange that I would love that deeply. Are you willing to do something about it? Are there other passages that would help me kind of fill this out and support it? You guys, he wants us to obey. We're going back to Matthew 28. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What is he calling you to obey? From his word. Between you and him. Say, God, I want to follow you. Christ, I want to walk with you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to love like the world has no idea what it looks like. I'm going to do to others what I would like to have be done to me. And we're going to start practicing that in about 3 minutes. As we leave here, we're going to go, oh my gosh, I need to say hello. I need to embrace. I need to acknowledge. I need to apologize. I need to confess. I need to humble myself. I need to do whatever. What is it you need to do? So take a minute here as the band comes up, but take a minute just to kind of say, okay, God, what do you want? What do you want me to do? How can I treat others the way I'd like to be treated? How can I choose a narrow gate in a hard way? How can I make sure that I listen to those who are not ravenous wolves, but people who shepherd me and care for me, who produce good fruit? How do you do that? Take a minute just to kind of wrestle with it. Maybe write down an answer on that card, whatever it might be. Say, okay, I need to obey. I need to observe what you've commanded me to do. Father, we want to pray together. Thank you for this particular thoughts that Jesus gave in the Sermon on the Mount. They are so radically different than the way our world functions. But I do pray that you would move us to be radical people. Not radical in a mean and ugly way. We want to be radical in an incredibly kind, loving, truthful, embracing way that allows us to do to others what we would like to have done to us. May we treat them with a kind of love and respect that we'd like to be treated with. Father, help us to be those kinds of people. It seems to me that it is a reckless kind of love. It is not a stupid love. It's an intelligent love. But it's a reckless love. Because that's the kind of recklessness you loved us with. You take all of our sin and you cast it aside. In fact, you embrace it onto yourself and you paid for it. So that we could be made new and set free and set in a direction that's all about you. Father, now we want to be people who pass that kind of reckless love onto others.